Turn in your Bibles this evening to the book of Romans chapter 1. And as Lisa Serafini threatened with putting out the announcement, we are preaching tonight on the IMs of Paul. Did y'all get her threat? Did y'all see that posted? I'll probably be getting a text from her tonight before I get... Anyway, let's, of course, do pray for that family with the loss of their loved one that Brother Jim read about here this evening, Brother Scotty's wife. And let's, of course, continue to pray for our friend Brother Calvin. We sure do miss him, enjoy being in service, and I know that he appreciates so very much our praying for him. He's a remarkable fella. Him and I text back and forth a lot, and he's the type of a person that you can joke with and say just about anything, and he won't get mad at you. And I pushed it to the limits a little bit this evening with the comment that I made. You'll have to ask him about it. But he didn't get mad at me. But anyway, I like people like that, don't you? Where you can just totally be comfortable around, and you can joke back and forth, and people don't always take you serious every time. It's just good to be around people like that. Okay, the IMs of Paul. I know you all know this, but in the book of Romans chapter 1, we have three IMs recorded in the first chapter. And we're going to look at those this evening. And, of course, what I would like to do tonight is we look at the three IMs of the Apostle Paul to recognize not only the fact that he said, I am, three times, but those statements also have relevance in the lives of every one of us. These three statements tonight can resonate with us in terms of what, where we are with our lives and how we need to draw from those three statements spiritual truths that can help us as well in terms of the direction of our spiritual life. And I don't know about you, but I can only speak for myself, and I can say this. I've been saved now many years, but I still need God as much today as I ever did. And I need Him to help me constantly. And the thing that we must always pray about in our Christian life is pray that we'll never get stagnant, or pray that we'll lose the joy, or pray that we'll get to the place to where we get satisfied with where we are as a Christian. God help us to not get to that place. We should never be satisfied except to say I'm satisfied with Jesus, and we are. We're satisfied with how good He is and what He does for us. But we should never be satisfied with the degree of our spirituality. We should always be pressing forward, keep growing, keep learning, keep trusting, and just keep on persevering, but doing so by practicing continual discipline in our lives. The world, the flesh, and the devil are on our heels, trying their dead level best to slow us down, to cool us down, and to get us to the place to where we take for granted what God's done for us. So we got to be on the guard. So these three I am statements would challenge us to be on the guard, and then to also continue to practice disciplines that we need to. Now, with your Bibles open in chapter 1, verse 14 through 16, notice these, and you may want to underscore these three IMs of Paul. One is found in verse 14, one is found in verse 15, and one is found in verse 16. So let me start out. I am debtor. There's your first one. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. It's kind of interesting. He said, I'm debtor to the Greeks and the barbarians. When we think of Greece, we think of education. We think of a cultured place in the world at that time. I think Paul is saying that he's a debtor to those in that category, the cultured, the educated, the refined, so to speak. He's as much a debtor to that group of people as he is to the barbarians. The barbarians, just the down-to-earth sinners and people that would be the opposite of the Greeks. In other words, he's debtor to all. Let me keep reading. I'm debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So we could also say that the Greeks thought they were wise. They had worldly wisdom, and then the barbarians would have been viewed or looked upon as unwise, as ignorant, and so forth. Now, the next I am is in verse 15. So as much as in me, I am ready. There's your second one. I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Then the third one is in verse 16. I am not ashamed. But I'll read the whole verse. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's a power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. I am debtor, I'm ready, and I'm not ashamed. Let's pray. Father, tonight we thank you for the reading of your word. We ask you, Heavenly Father, this evening that you would take the word and apply it and help us to apply it to our hearts and lives. We pray that every spiritual need will be met tonight on the part of everyone that's listening to this message. Those here and those out there. We pray the Holy Spirit will see fit this evening to use this message. We pray tonight for the Landreth family, your comfort to be upon the hearts of those people. We ask you, Lord, to bless in the funeral service Saturday. I pray, Heavenly Father, I pray this evening also, dear Lord, for the sick of our church. We pray for Brother Calvin again tonight, for your hand of healing to be upon him and bless him in joy. Be with all of those this evening that are out because of sickness and cannot be with us. We pray that you'd give them healing of their bodies. Then, my Father, I pray this evening for those outside of the pale of salvation, those that are unsaved, unredeemed, lost and in sin, and unprepared for eternity. May they get saved before it's too late. Bless the study of your word in Jesus' name. Amen. To begin my message tonight, I would begin with an introductory statement or thought. Here it is. I am debtor. There we have Paul's admission. His admission. He's admitting it. I'm debtor. I am ready. There we have his remission. His remission. I'm not ashamed. There we see his submission. His submission. We see his admission, his remission, and his submission. Now we break this down this evening. We look at it individually. First of all, he says, I am debtor. I am of debt, you could say. He was a debtor. He felt like that he was in debt. He was in debt. That's interesting, isn't it? When you say you're a debtor, then that would suggest you owe a debt. There's a debt. And that's exactly how it reads. He was a debtor. He was a debtor to people. That's clearly seen to people. He felt like he owed people something. He felt like he owed people something of great importance. I'm debtor. His salvation and ministry all related to events that took place on the road to Damascus. And you know the account in Acts 9. Acts chapter 9 is a record of his salvation. And when Paul got saved, it changed his life forever. It turned him totally around. It was a 180 degree turnaround on this man. It changed his life completely. Salvation threw him in debt. Now, we know this. We know that his Savior wiped out his sin debt. But here's what I'll suggest tonight. His Savior wiped out his sin debt, but put him into a soul debt. He goes from a sin debt to a soul debt. You and I tonight, here's my first application, we're in debt. We're in debt tonight to people too. We owe them something that only we can offer them. Unsaved people can't do anything for lost souls. They don't have it to start with. So we're in debt. He became a debtor in a threefold way to the Lord, or in a threefold way. He was in debt in a threefold way. Number one, to the Lord. Number two, to the lost. And number three, to legacy. To legacy. First of all, he was a debtor to the Lord. And so are we. Acts chapter 9, verse number 6 says, "What wilt thou have me to do?" He asked that question when God saved him. He starts out by saying, "What wilt thou have me to do?" Which lets us in on a secret. Living for God is a doing thing. It involves doing. Doing. You see, okay, I know you're saying, yeah, it does involve doing, like believing. Well, I'm talking about belief plus something. I'm talking about, the Bible talks about activity. Not just the fact of when we're saved, we start trusting the Lord, we believe Him, we do these, you know, it's a matter of believing, but it's a matter of doing. Doing, and that's what we see here. He became a debtor to the Lord. He said, "What wilt thou have me to do?" He spent the rest of his life doing the will of God. From the time he said, "What wilt thou have me to do?" until the time that he said, "I'm now ready to be offered," he was doing something for the Lord. His whole life was marked with doing. "What wilt thou have me to do?" Think about this man. Think about the 180 degree turn. Why, are you talking about someone with a clear-cut conversion? Where could you find a better example than in Paul? He turned by the grace of God from a brutal persecutor to a preacher. He came all the way from a persecutor to a preacher. Now, how's that for a change? I mean to tell you, when Paul got saved, everybody was running from him. The church didn't trust him. They were scared of him. In fact, when he got saved, he had threatening letters as he was on the road to Damascus with ill intention for the church. He was getting people hauled into prison. He was a reign of terror to the Christian. But boy, did God change his life. And his change became a pivotal point for the future of the church. A pivotal point. He was a debtor to the Lord. And aren't we? I mean, don't we owe God something? We're a debtor to the Lord. In fact, Paul said in 2 Timothy 1:12, he said, "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am fully persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." So he committed, the statement there is, to keep that which I've committed unto him. The Apostle Paul committed things unto Christ. He committed his life. He committed his time. He committed his labor. That's commitment, isn't it? A debtor to the Lord. He faithfully paid his debt to the Lord through the course of his life. He fought a good fight. He finished the course. He kept the faith. And that would mean that he was a debtor. He was a debtor to the Lord. He said, notice something else. I'm a debtor. But then I like this too. He comes down to the end of his life. In the book of 2 Timothy, he comes down to the end of his life. He said, I'm now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I've fought a good fight. I finished the course. I've kept the faith. He starts out by saying, I'm a debtor. And then he comes down to the time where he says, I'm ready. From the time between the I'm a debtor to I'm ready, his life was packed with loving, faithful service to the Lord. Folks, tonight we don't have to be an apostle to serve the Lord. We don't have to have his credentials to serve the Lord. But we can serve the Lord where we are with what God's given us to work with. There's not two people tonight in this building that are equally the same in terms of the gifts and abilities that you have. We're all different. Some can't sing. Some can't teach. Some can't, well, we could draw a pretty long list, couldn't we? We could talk about what we couldn't do. But every one of us can do some things. By God's grace. So we can be faithful in that way, can't we? So he said, I'm a debtor. Then he would one day say, I'm ready. And he would say, I'm ready to be offered. So he was full of I am statements. Everywhere he went, he preached the cross. He was ridiculed unmercifully. He was cast out. He was imprisoned. He was treated cruelly, and eventually, he'd die as a martyr. I'm debtor. Even though he was treated that way, he kept paying his debt. And, you know, most of us, when we think of debt, we think of bills. We think of financial obligations, don't we? I don't know how your account is set up at home, but we, Carol has us set up. Most of our bills are drafted. By the way, aren't you happy tonight? You're not only getting a sermon, but I'm giving you tonight a financial seminar. Wow. You really getting your money tonight, aren't you? That's the furthest. My being a financial seminar, that's a joke of the century. Don't you laugh, Carol. But I have enough sense about finances to know this. If you have a bill, you have to pay it. Most people pay their bills on a monthly basis, or whatever the case might be. Well, now let's bring this over to where it is in the scripture. Paul said, I'm a debtor. Okay, he was a debtor to the Lord, and I'll put it like this. He paid regularly. He didn't quit paying. He kept paying his debt. He didn't do like a lot of people do. And unfortunately, all of us know some people that have done this. They quit paying their spiritual debt. What's happened to them? What's happened to their love for Christ? What's happened to their zeal? What's happened to their enthusiasm? What's happened? They quit paying their debt. I mean, think about that. He said, I'm debtor. And he could say that from the time he said, Lord, what without having to do until the time he said, I'm now ready to be offered. He kept paying his debt on time. Paid it on time. Think about what he went through. And I'm talking about in spite of the fact that he was probably abused as much as any human being that's ever walked this earth for Christ. No one probably ever suffered more than this man. But yet he paid his debt. To give you an example, he was imprisoned at Philippi, Acts 16. He was chased out of Thessalonica, Acts 17. He was smuggled out of Berea, Acts 17. He was mocked at Athens, Acts 17. He was called a fool in Corinth, 1 Corinthians 1. He was stoned in Galatia, Acts 14. Then read the end of the book of Acts, and the book closes, and he's waiting in jail, to be martyred. But he still paid his debt. He remained eager to preach the gospel in Rome. And Rome, by the way, was an interesting place to preach the gospel. When you study the history of Rome and you study the context of Rome at the time that Paul lived, well, it was a challenge in itself to preach at Rome. Do you know Rome was a seat of contemporary political power? Rome was a seat of pagan religion. But he kept on paying his debt. Still remained faithful. Then 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 5 and 6, I think it is. He said, I'm now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I've fought a good fight. I've kept my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me that day. And not unto me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. So paying his debt paid off. He got a payback himself. By the way, if we faithfully pay our debt to God, we'll get a payback too. We get it right now, incidentally, but we're going to get it at the end of life's journey too. What's the payback we get now from faithfully serving the Lord? Peace, joy, happiness, contentment. That's the part of the payback we automatically get. Peace of God that passeth all understanding. Isn't that pretty good payback? Amen. And then, when the Lord comes, or when he calls us home, we need to discharge our debts in order to also, with peace, be able to say, I'm now ready to be offered. Secondly, Paul was a debt, number one, to the Lord, and number two, to the lost. To the lost. Acts 20, verse 31. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. He was a debtor to the lost. He kept paying to the lost, paying his debt, kept witnessing, kept warning, kept crying, kept persevering. He did not give up. Debtor to the lost. We're in debt tonight to the lost. We have something they need. We have a gospel message that we're to bear to them. No one else is going to get it to them. The psalmist one time said, I looked on my left hand, looked on my right. No man cared for my soul. But God's people have to care for the souls of the lost. There's more than being a church member. There's the thing of being a church member and in debt to the lost. Caring about lost, perishing people. If we can't literally go out and win people to the Lord, the very least that we can do is have the names of unsaved people on our prayer lists, praying for people to get saved. Have we forgotten that lost people still go to hell? Have we forgotten that neighbors across the street or family members that are lost still go to hell? Have we somehow, some way been slipped a counterfeit to where we no longer think it's important to be a debtor to the lost? God forbid. Then, he was a debtor not only to the Lord and to the lost, but he was a debtor to the Lord's people, to the saved. In fact, in Colossians 1:28 it says, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Debtor to people, to Christians. that we may present every man perfect. That means brought to spiritual maturity. Not sinless perfection, but brought to spiritual maturity. That's what preachers do. That's why we're doing what we're doing tonight. That's why we emphasize these things in our church. I want every person that's a member of the Smith Grove Baptist Church to be brought to maturity. I mean, isn't that what we're supposed to do? Isn't that what he said? Brought to perfection. We're a debtor to the Lord. We are a debtor to the lost. We're a debtor to the Lord's people. And so all of us are debtor to the Lord's people. We encourage, we lift up, we teach, we instruct, we counsel, we edify, we help one another. That's paying the debt to God's people. Then, I note three things. Debtor to the Lord, debtor to the lost, or a debtor to the Lord, debtor to people, but also a debtor to legacy. Debtor to legacy. Why do I say legacy? Well, Paul was a debtor to the legacy of the faithful who had run the race and set the example. The legacy that had already been established. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 1, it says this, "Wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easy beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Hebrews 12:1. Who are the cloud of witnesses? I believe the cloud of witnesses are the faithful who's already run the race. It could include the spectators already in heaven that are cheering us on, so to speak. Now, I'm not here tonight to get into that very deep because I don't know. You know, are they really watching us? I don't know. I doubt it. Because if they, I take it like this. I don't believe it's going to be anything by way of discouragement in heaven. And if the people in heaven look down upon this earth, they're liable to get discouraged. If they see the way we carry on. But there's still the legacy of the record. The legacy of their faithfulness. They say to us it can be done. And let's duplicate their example. Let's be faithful like they were. Let's continue on just like they were. Let's be faithful. Let's be a debtor to legacy. Let's not take for granted those people that have blessed our lives. Now I want you to think back for a moment. And every one of you right now, you think about someone in this church. Think about it right now, of someone in this church that was a faithful, godly person who was a blessing to you, and you missed them, and you respected them, and you were awed by their Christian example. Can all of you all think of someone? Okay, here's my point. We owe it to them. We owe, that's debt, right? We owe it to them to follow in the path of faithfulness like they did. There are so many faithful, godly people that we've lost down through the course of years in this church. We could talk about it for a long time, couldn't we? But I don't want to let down myself. I think I owe it first to the Lord and I owe it to people, but we owe it to legacy. That would disrespect the example they set. I'm debtor. That's what it says. I'm a debtor. We need to keep the faith, hold up our end, and load for others are watching us. Now here's a good verse. 2 Timothy 2:2 says, "And the things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." We take what we've been taught, we pass it on to others. We instruct others with instruction we've received. we pass it on. That's a great verse there. It's a great verse. So now let me hurry. Paul said, I'm debtor. Secondly, he said, note this, I am ready. I'm ready. What was he ready to do? Ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. So we see the I am of determination. The I am of determination. The first was his I am of debt. Now we see his I am of determination. He said, I am ready to preach the gospel. He was determined to preach. He was ready to preach. And he was determined, in spite of the obstacles, to preach. That didn't slow him down. He still was determined to preach. Then thirdly tonight, the I am of discernment. Of discernment, verse 16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation. That's discernment. The power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. You know, it takes the I am of discernment. We need to know what we're handling. We need to believe what we're handling. We need to know that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. You know, this is encouragement. And I'll tell you why it's encouragement. You know, there's a lot of Christians get defeated and they'll say, I would witness, but I don't know how. I'm afraid somebody will stump me, or I'll get embarrassed, or I'll get confused. Well, now here's something that'll help us. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Not our words. Not our talk. Not our argument. Not our presentation. It's the gospel. You know what the gospel is? It's the good news of the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ according to scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 3. So you know all we have to do? Just drop the word of God on people's step and leave it there, so to speak. Give them the word. Just, in other words, give people, still get in the habit of giving people the Word of God and pray over it and believe that God's Word will not return void. We're not called to win an argument with anybody, but we are called to give the gospel out. Just give them the Word. Drop a tract in their lap or on their doorstep, or just say to them something like this. I don't have all the answers. I don't have all of the answers about maybe some questions you might have, but let me give you a good verse to think about it. To think about. Then lay John 3:16 on them. Or lay Romans 6:23 on them. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's the Bible the Spirit of God uses. It's the scriptures. And so the very least thing we can do is just give them the word. He had discernment. He said it's the power of God into salvation. It was not Paul's persuasion. It was not his eloquence. It was not his preaching. It was not his words. It was the gospel that was the power of God into salvation. That's discernment. Don't y'all get quiet on me tonight. Now this is good stuff here. Preach it, brother. God bless you. I'll amen myself, I have to. The I am of discernment. He was discerning the power of God, the gospel of Christ. There is what I believe to be the gospel of religion, if we could call it that, which is really not good news if it's just religion. That won't help you. There's the gospel or the good news, so to speak, of just turned over a new leaf. That won't help you. There's a gospel of materialism that might say your worth is determined by what you have. Gain is the goal of your life. That won't help you. That's really not the gospel. There's a gospel of liberalism that where some people get hooked into where they say, I'm okay, or you're okay. God accepts us like we are. He'll take us all to heaven eventually, if heaven really exists. That's the thinking. That's not the gospel. There's the gospel of society that says, do as you please, for life is short, just live it up. But Paul's message, on the other hand, was this. You're a sinner, and if you die in your sins, you'll go to hell. However, God loves you and sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into the world. Jesus died for your sins. He rose again on the third day. If you place your trust in Him, He will save you. The gospel of Christ is a simple message. Again, and I repeat, I deliver unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Again, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 3. If anybody ever asks you what the gospel is, turn them over or tell them to look at 1 Corinthians 15, or better than that, quote that passage, or read it to them. Romans 4:25 states, who was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. He had discernment. He knew firsthand the power of the gospel. His life was changed by the gospel. Every life is redeemed by the gospel. It was a thing of life for him. He lived it. He breathed it. He was a man with an I am. And that is my Bible study tonight. The three I ams of Paul. Okay? Let's rehearse a minute here. Let's review. What's the first one? I am what? Debtor. I'm debtor. And basically, someone tell me, what did I say? Debtor to what? Debtor to who? Review, please, students. What's debtor to who? Okay. Basically, the Lord and people. I think I kind of alliterated a little bit. I said the Lord and the lost and then legacy, right? Yeah, legacy too. So, I'm debtor. All right, what was the second I am? I'm ready. Ready to what? To preach. Okay. Then what's the third I am? Okay, and what's the key thing we learned when he said, I'm not ashamed? That was the I am of, starts with a D. Discernment. What was the first I am using the D? The alliteration. The I am of what? First D. Right, okay, that's it. The I am of debt. What was the second one? The I am of what? Determination. And then thirdly, the I am of discernment. Those three I ams will still work. And basically, you and I are a part of this. I believe God blesses all of us if we continue to remember that we are involved in the I ams. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for this Bible study, and help us, Lord, to take it and, dear Lord, apply it. And help us to be a debtor to the Lord, to the lost, to legacy. And help us, Lord, to be the debt in the threefold way of this great apostle who right now is in your presence rejoicing because he paid the debt, and it all goes back to the fact that you paid the debt to start with. You paid our sin debt. And Lord, thank you for that. If there's anyone in this service tonight, Heavenly Father, whose heart the Holy Spirit has nudged, and maybe they just need come and pray at this altar about something that you placed upon their heart this evening. May they do that. May they respond tonight. May your perfect will be done. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Page 308.